that middle interview.
To all the Amorphous fanatics, Amorphous, the death metal band from Finland, A-M-O-R-P-H-I-S, Amorphous, hail from the country of Finland, and we have a guest from their band by the name of Esa Holopainen, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Esa spends time with us and talks about his new project, a project by the name of Silver Lake. And they got a video out there, a music video and a single, of course, by the name of Storm, which features the band Nordman's Håkan Hemlin on vocals, if I'm pronouncing that right, Håkan Hemlin on vocals. And it's the self-titled debut album, featuring a bunch of guests, a bunch of real badass singers, for sure. But this video, this single, features Nordman's Håkan Hemlin, which sounds badass. If you guys haven't heard it, let's check out Storm, the song Storm, by Esa's new side project band, Silver Lake. Here it is, guys. Enjoy Silver Lake, Storm.
I stand on the shore, praying under the sky, telling me more to know, or should I believe? This is my home, where I will roam from now.
Oh,
Wasn't that some badass shit? Good shit for sure, man. Silver Lake, you guys should pick it up. It should be on sale May 28th. Nuclear Blast Records for sure. And we spend time with Essa speaking about different things, past, present, and future. Amorphis, and of course, Silver Lake. And why he chose and how he chose all these different vocalists to be a part of this record, you know, Silver Lake. So guys, check it out, man. Here's our interview with Mr. Issa Holopainen. Here he goes. Enjoy. New project, Silver Lake. New single, Storm. 9 tracks that I have not heard. I've only heard Storm, which is a very, 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 very good song and video. Nuclear Blast, right? Congrats on this new project. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Yeah, Storm is the first single now, and I'm also super happy how the video turned out. It's filmed in Canary Island early this year, and yeah, really, really happy how it turned out. And next single is coming out end of this month. And basically how this project got started was a year ago. A friend of mine who is running a studio here gave me a call, and he asked that would I be interested to start to work with my solo stuff or solo project. Uh-huh. As all the shows got cancelled because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
And he, yeah, so that was pretty much in short way how this project got started. So yeah.
How did you pick and choose, for the people that don't know, there's, on the album, there's different singers on there, and so how did you choose these certain singers out of so many in the world, right?
Yeah, it's all the singers here, they are singers that are my friends, I've toured with, and singers that I personally highly respect and I do like. So that was like the criteria how I chose the singers. Of course, it wasn't that easy task because I know quite many singers. but these who are on this album are, you know, truly, truly the singers that I admire myself.
Great singers, for sure. What made you do this project as Silver Lake? And how do you know these songs weren't made for Amorphis?
You know, when I started the project, I had 3 songs that became sort of created backbone for this whole album. And those songs were so different from what I've done with Amorphis that I never even thought about offering them to any Amorphis session. So I think that was one of the things. Of course, I had a lot of different singers who sing in very different style. That gave me more variety to vary it with the songs and with the styles of the songs. And yeah, it was totally different sort of session for me that I would do, for example, for Amorphis. So in that way, it's... I learned quite a lot during this trip.
Awesome. So for the fans that might be worried about Amorphis, is this the end of Amorphis, or is this only a is this only a side project?
Yeah, this is absolutely. This is my project. And actually we are working with the new Amorphis album. The album is coming out February 22, so Silver Lake was my project that I started during COVID-19. It's a corona project.
Right. So how long have you been writing for Silver Lake? Is it a couple of years, a couple of months?
The first songs, the ideas for those songs I wrote a couple of years ago. But rest of the music I wrote last year while arranging and recording the album. So yeah, you know, I didn't have anything else to do last year than really focus on this Silver Lake album and writing the music for it.
What is it that do you listen to when you're not holding a guitar, or what's on your playlist? What's on S's playlist?
Stay with us. We'll be right back. If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
I'm pretty boring what comes to picking up new music. Uh-huh. And usually when I listen to music, I end up with all the classics like early Rainbow albums, Deep Purple, Slayer,
awesome,
Mastodon.
Yep.
What else I've played lately? Nick Cave, Tool. That it really varies on which mood I am, but I'm really bad at picking new artists up. So I usually end up with the same old classic albums.
A little bit different question here. If we can talk Amorphis a little bit. For the people that don't know the history of Amorphis, what year did this band start and how did it start?
Amorphis started in 1990, over 30 years ago. It's so long ago that I think I was living another life. it started like, I guess, with any band. We got together with a group of friends who shared the same passion for the music and, you know, started to play for fun. At that time, death metal was just coming up and we were the first death metal bands here in Finland and doing that kind of stuff. And yeah, that's pretty much how it started. You know, the first gigs we played in local youth clubs here in Finland. And later on, we got contacted by Relapse Records and got opportunity to record our first album. I think this was 1992. So a lot of things happened during these 30 years. But yeah, that's pretty much in a nutshell. Our history is like.
That's a very cool style you have there. I'm a big fan of Under the Red Cloud, Death of a King. Very, very cool stuff there. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the Under the Red Cloud was the album that we started to work with a producer that we are also now working with, Jens Bogren, Swedish producer. He's really cool guy and really good with coming up with nuances and new elements and things for bands.
So what's your favorite song to play live?
Favorite song? I think it's usually something from the latest albums. I actually, now that you mentioned, I really enjoy playing Death of a King on live. It's a great live track as well.
Awesome.
The song called Bad Blood, that's a great live song.
Yes.
Wrong Direction. Those songs I really do enjoy playing live.
Give us your best gig and your worst gig.
Well, I start with the worst gig, because that I remember really well. That was a long time ago. We released Tales from a Thousand Lakes album, and it was our first show in Portugal. And the album actually charted in Portugal, and we played in Lisbon, and another town I can't remember at the moment. But anyway, we were so wasted during the show that it was insane. And our keyboard player, you know, you couldn't see his eyes. You could only see the white balls, like, going crazy. And he was shouting in Finnish that he wants to play drums. You know, I want to play drums. He was so wasted. It was stupid. And later on, we got voted in the local music magazine that Amorphis Tales from a Thousand Lakes is the best metal album of the year. And the same page there was the worst live show of the year was Amorphis.
Oh, no way.
So that was officially our worst live show. But yeah.
Wow.
Old days. Best live. I don't know. It's we've done now some pretty nice gigs. I think Wacken opener we played in 2018 was really nice in Germany. And overall, we played the last tour we did with Timo Borgir here in Europe, 2020, January. That was really, really good one. We played for big crowds here in Europe, so I could easily pick up any from those shows, really nice ones.
What advice can you give a new, younger kids starting bands up at this time of age? What advice can you give them as far as that?
I think you know, one good advice is to really to play the music you want to play and enjoy that and not try to copy too much what other bands are doing. I think creating unique style or your own thing mostly comes from the thing that you truly write for yourself and you truly play the music you enjoy yourself. That's, I think, the first advice. And I don't know, then you know, you should have some relationships to local promoters and you just have to be patient and try to tease them all the time to get your first shows done. I guess that's a good way to start. I wouldn't start by trying to immediately contact with the labels, because I know that they are hands full with demos and everything. But going a little step further, trying to get shows, even though it's hard, and be honest for yourself with your music. So that's probably the good advice. And it's a good thing if you can play something on. I think that doesn't do harm if you know your instrument.
So can you speak about your equipment for the musicians asking what kind of equipment do you use on stage, or is it different than the studio equipment?
I use ESP guitars. They are really, really solid guitars for live use. And on studio, I use pretty much everything that sounds good. I use different Strats, Telecaster, Jazzmaster for clean. That's great. Les Pauls, Gibsons, ESPs. It really depends on the song and the sound world you're working with. I recorded actually quite a lot with Neural DSP plugins for Silver Lake album. They are super good. That's basically what I do if I have to record something from my home studio. I use Neural DSP plugins rather than trying to mic a cabinet and use a tube amplifier. But it's a different story than with Amorphis sessions. We pretty much use tube amplifiers, Diesel, Bochner, Marshall, and miking is a mystery thing, but only our producer Jens knows. He uses tons of different mics, and he's got really, really weird and fucked up miking system. So it's, I try to copy the sound to my Kemper while I was recording Amorphis Queen of Time album, and I had my Kemper with me, and I thought that I can profile this sound there, and then it's you know, handy to use on live. But his miking system is so weird that it literally made the whole profiling idea impossible. So but yeah, that's pretty much what we use during the sessions. On live, I use Kempers because they are really good and solid for live use. We use in-ear system, so it really doesn't matter if you have a cabinet on stage or not. Usually the front of sound guy prefers not to have cabinets with you, because it's better to do the mixing when everything is online. So yeah, that's pretty much what I use.
Really? So live, sometimes cabinets are not necessary, right?
No. It's funny because usually the only one who enjoys cabinets are the players themselves. You know,
Yes,
it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling if you have a nice tube amplifier and you played it loud through cabinet. But the people at the front row, they don't hear anything else but the dude's guitar playing from the cabinet. And it's a chaotic. And for the sound engineer, it's horrible to try to mix, because usually what happens is that if there's two guitar players, they start to compete with who's louder, and everybody wants to hear themselves, and it becomes chaotic. It becomes chaotic, and it's for the sound engineer, it's super hard to mix a band that it's too loud.
I saw an interview with the guy that controls James Hetfield's equipment backstage, and I'm sorry, this is not related to your music. It relates to all metal, of course. But he said that the cabinets are not necessary, just like you said. And Hetfield only has them up there for whenever he wants to feel that old school vibe around his body.
Yeah. That's pretty much the thing usually. If you have a huge stage that is possible, and you can have your cabinet there, and it doesn't really do any harm for the bigger picture or the overall sound. And it is absolutely, it is a nice feeling when you know that you can actually feel the pressure of your sound. So absolutely, I understand that. It is for guitar players especially, it is a huge compromise. It was for me, it was huge compromise when we jumped into using in-ears and little by little got rid of the real tube amplifiers and cabinets. But now that I got used to them, I'm absolutely fine with that. And I actually wouldn't like to go back to this old school tube amplifier world.
Right.
Because your sound is always different.
Right, yeah. I play guitar myself and at local bands, you know. And it's sad to hear that amplifiers are going away.
It is, but it's, you know, if you're realistic, there is, I love tube amplifiers. I do, don't get me wrong. I have a couple Bochners. I love playing through them, but it is, if you think about the bigger picture, it's difficult, you know. If you do like one-off shows, you have to take your gear to aeroplane. If you have your rental gear, it's always different than your own. And of course, using Kempers and all these processor amplifiers, it's not the same, and it is a compromise. But I think for the greater good and the bigger picture, it's better to use those than burnt Marshalls.
Right. So what is next for yourself, Essa, Silver Lake and Amorphis? What can fans expect next from you?
Silver Lake album comes out end of May, and at the moment we are working with the next Amorphis album that comes out February 22, and hopefully sometime during next year the world is ready for the live shows again. So that's I guess what we all are waiting at the moment.
Would you like to send a message to your fans listening to this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the interview, and I hope the listeners will get into the Silver Lake album. Slightly different from what I've usually done, but I'm super happy with the album. And next year, early 22, it's time for a new Amorphis album as well. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for your time, Essa. I appreciate that. And very good job with Silver Lake. I love the song Storm, and we can't wait to hear the rest.
Okay. Thank you very much, man.
Support Essa's project Silver Lake. Support Amorphis. For all you Amorphis fanatics out there, you know there's a bunch of you out there just like me. There's a song by Amorphis that I really, really love, Death of a King. Now that is some crazy, crazy metal, some good metal. If you guys want some death metal, just heavy metal, death metal, check out Amorphis, man. Amorphis. I truly recommend this stuff, man. And now I recommend Silver Lake. Check out that new jam by the name of Storm by Silver Lake. And we thank Mr. Issa Holopainen for spending some time with us here at jrocksmetalzone.com, 24/7 rock metal, and our guest for that metal interview podcast. Thank you guys for supporting our podcast, and thank you for sharing and liking and this and that. So we truly appreciate it. Don't forget to ring the bell on YouTube so that way you guys can have the latest uploads from our podcast. So thank you guys who support us on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and so on and so forth. And don't forget to keep it metal.
That metal interview.